receive any questions that you might have. A lot of announcements this morning. I'm going to run through just a few of them. Lent is fast approaching. In your bulletin, you will see that this year for Ash Wednesday, you have two worshiping opportunities. The first is at noon, and that is at Rock Salt Mission Center down in the South Wedge. That is at noon. If you have any questions, let me know. And the other will be our 7 o'clock traditional worship here with the choir singing and communion. Also during Lent, we will be having a book conversation called God and the Gay Christian. You can see more information there in your bulletin about the book and our upcoming learning opportunities. I want to go back to Rock Salt just for a minute. Rock Salt. Salt stands for Serving and Learning Together. This is a brand new mission opportunity within the presbytery, taking what was a congregation that closed, the former Calvary St. Andrew's Church, and it is in process of transforming into a mission center where we will welcome groups, both local here in the Rochester area and from far reaches, as far as folks will come, to experience what our youth often do on their summer work projects, connecting with various organizations to learn more about how we can be the kingdom of God and serve others. So if you look in your bulletin, you will also see that for youth 6 to 12, there's a mini work project happening during winter break. And adults, there is a chance for you too. I believe it's on that Tuesday. There's going to be a reality tour of sorts, helping us to learn more about poverty in the Rochester area. So please take a look at all that. Speaking of February break, here's the shift. Jamaica Travelers, you have your last orientation today with parents. We'll be commissioning those youth today. We don't leave until the 17th. But we're doing the commissioning today. And we've got another announcement, Todd, and I've got two. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Final weekend for the Amherst game coming up the 16th of February. Anyone that wants to go, today's our last chance. So please see me down in Fellowship Hall after service, and we'll take care of it. Thank you.
Friends, also a reminder that St. Joseph's, our opportunity to serve at St. Joseph's House Hospitality is coming up. We need food donations and volunteers. Check the sign-up list on the kiosk. And Anne-Marie asked me to share with you that we have another opportunity for a blood drive, February 10th from 9 to 1. Volunteers are needed. Again, on the kiosk, you can sign up. Lots of opportunities to serve and learn together. But now, friends, let us gather our hearts and our minds, our entire bodies, into a time of prayer and worship.
Please join me in a call to worship. How wonderful it is to sing our praises to God. Praise the Lord who gathers us together. God's mercy is given generously to all in need. Come worship and celebrate. God is reaching out to you this day. Praise be to God who continually heals and forgives us.
Praises of Jesus in our hearts and in our songs, we also bring those parts of our lives and this world together where there is brokenness. Let us join our voices in the prayer of confession. God, we confess that we are bound to our egos and imprisoned in harmful patterns of living and relating. You call us to listen and to connect with others. Yet we are too consumed with doing things the way we like them. We ignore, we judge, and we push away that which is unfamiliar to us. Help us to consider the needs of others, for just as Christ became all things to all people, we are called to meet others where they are, not just where we want them to be. May we have confidence in the gospel so that we may share its blessings. Amen. Jesus was a friend to the stranger, the weak and the outcast, and he gathered friends together at a table and invited new guests to the banquet. He healed whoever asked it of him and wept for the prisoners who shared his fate on the cross. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are accepted. We are forgiven, loved, and free. Amen. So at this time, I'm going to invite the children to come forward, and we're going to sit right here. And I'm also going to invite the Jamaica Travelers advisors forward, and they are going to sit in this front pew over here. You guys are going to come sit over here with me. Over there behind you. Okay, so I'm not always like real great at math, but here's a little math I was doing. So these bigger people behind you, they were your age when I first became pastor here. Oh my goodness. Right? How fast time goes that we begin our Christian journey here in church. For many of you, at the font in baptism, you learn about the love and good news of Jesus in Sunday school and in youth group, and then all of a sudden you grow up and you get to go to Jamaica as part of the way in this church we, right, thumbs up, we live out our call to serve in this world. So those are high school seniors. And they, like many of you, have served at St. Joseph, like the junior highs and others will have a chance to do, have been on work projects, have served in the community here in Rochester and in New York and in many places, sharing the good news of Jesus. And I am very excited that you all get to see their faces today up close, because in just a few weeks, they are going to be heading out, and they are going to be meeting for the first time some of the little children of the preschool where we work. They are going to have a chance to worship in not just one, but two of the churches that we are in relationship with. And they are going to get to know the wonderful people in Jamaica. No fights. We're all going to work on loving each other. Does that sound okay? All right. So, at this time, I'm going to have them stand up, and we have Kay and Tammy behind me, and they are going to lead what's called a commissioning. You know what a commissioning is? Do you remember last Sunday when our new elders and deacons and trustees, we asked them some questions, along with the congregation, about praying for each other? Do you remember that a little bit? So that's what we're going to do. Can we do that? So you guys stay here. You guys are going to get up. Ready? Yep, big people. They can follow directions. I'm going to go stand with them, because guess what? I'm going to Jamaica this year too. So you guys stay there. I'll hand it over. Ready?
I'm ready.
All right.
Waiting for her to quit talking.
Takes a while sometimes.
I love her. I am honored today to be able to commission, along with Tammy and Delevsky here, the 2018 Jamaica Senior High Mission Team. I have been involved with sending kids to teens to Jamaica since 2001, when my daughter was the first one in the first group to go. So I am so thrilled to continue to be involved with the youth team and all the youth that we have in our church. They are awesome. They are all awesome. So I invite, and they're here, but I'm going to tell your names, who they are. Audrey Molina, Chris Lewis, Danny Smythe, Michael Hasselhoff, Allison Cook, Sam Berkovich, Tracy Berkovich, Beth Molina, Keith Hadley, and Melissa DeRosa. The mission team will leave very early in the morning on Saturday, February 17th, to travel to Jamaica. They will work with our partners at the United Church of Jamaica in Green Island, Negril, and Santoy. They will be working with students, teachers, and staff at the basic school. This year, they will be working with the staff and children at the basic school and putting on a much-needed coat of paint to the church-owned house that their pastor, Kimberly, lives in. So, group behind me, do you accept this work, understanding it as an expression of your love for God and for God's people? If so, please say, I do. As you do this work, will you also open your hearts to the people of the Green Island and Negril communities, continuing to build the partnership between Gates Presbyterian and the United Church of Jamaica? If so, please say, I will.
Hey, Jamaica travelers, will you listen to the life stories of the people of Jamaica, and will you share your stories with them so that together you will discover ways in which God is working in the world? If so, please say, I will. Members of Gates Presbyterian Church, will you pray for these mission travelers as they seek to serve God? If so, please say, I will. I will. Let us pray together. O God, who calls us to service, we pray for this Jamaican mission team. Keep them safe in their travels. Focus them on their purpose. Energize them for their work. Help them to experience you in the partnership we have with the United Church of Jamaica. Amen.
All right, friends, you all can head to Sunday school. Thank you for coming up today.
The first reading today is from Isaiah 40, verses 21 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Is it he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to live in? Brings princes to naught and makes the rulers of the earth as nothing. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth, when he blows upon them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see. Who created these? He who brings out their host and numbers them, calling them all by name, because he is great in strength, mighty in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God and the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not fade or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint and strengthens the powerless. Even the youths will faint and be weary, and the young will fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. And Jesus came, took her by the hand, and lifted her up. And then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. And that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. Jesus cured many who were sick with various diseases, cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions, they hunted for him. They found him and said, "Everyone is searching for you." And Jesus answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting. I was fine last Sunday until we sang that second verse. We are pilgrims on a journey. We're together on the road. We are here to help each other walk the mile and bear the load. Our voices joined as we stood together around the communion table, encircling those newly elected elders, trustees, and deacons. And just moments before, I asked the entire congregation if we agreed to encourage them to respect their decisions, to follow as they guide us serving Jesus Christ, who alone is the head of the church. And there was this resounding, "We do." And I don't know about you, but it was in that moment that I experienced this overwhelming sense of a renewed commitment and affirmation of our knowing that at the very core of our being, that is what church is all about. Because we know it's about more than the hymns we like or we don't on a particular Sunday. The church is about more than if you agree with or even bored with a sermon I preach, or if you think I go on too long. It's more than just that. We recognize that doing and being church is about more than just one Sunday morning. Church is also more than just governance structures, committees, or teams, or whatever we call them. And even, I know, I'm going to say it though, it's about more than just our polity. Though the Book of Order is a helpful resource in reminding us that through the congregation, God's people carry out the ministries of proclamation, sharing the sacraments, and living in covenant life with God and each other. In the life of the congregation, individual believers are equipped for the ministry of witness, to the love of God and grace of God in and for the world. The congregation reaches out to people, communities, and the world to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to gather for worship, to offer care and nurture to God's children, to speak social justice and righteousness, to bear witness to the truth, to the reign of God that is coming into the world. And we believe that God does just that, works through each and every one of us, women and men, young and old, those of us with temporary able-bodiedness and those with illness or disability, those who are gender and sexual fluid or certain, we believe that God continues to reach out, to lift all of us up for the ministry of witnessing to the love of God's grace in and for the world. And we believe that this is best done together in community, where we can help each other walk the mile, bear the load. We know at the core of our being, this is what it means to be church. In our gospel story today, Jesus was just getting started in helping his disciples understand all of that. If you remember last week, we left Jesus on the beach, not a bad place to be left, with his four disciples, James and John, Simon and Andrew. But see, Mark moves very quickly, as he does throughout the entire gospel, telling of the good news Jesus Christ from one place to another. And so they have left their boats, their nets, and even Father Zebedee as they go to the seaside town of Capernaum. And first, in the few verses that weren't part of our scripture reading this morning, they entered a synagogue where Jesus teaches and comes to the need of a man who is ill and marginalized from his community. An unclean spirit is how Mark's gospel names the affliction. But what Jesus sees in front of him is an injustice and an opportunity to restore someone to the life of community and to demonstrate the inclusive nature of the kingdom of God. And the pattern there is repeated again. And this time, Jesus brings it closer to home, literally. They left the synagogue and enter the home of Simon and Andrew. Here we learn of Jesus' ministry with what some of us might call someone who is homebound. Simon's mother-in-law. We don't know how old she is, but she hasn't been able to leave her bed. And Jesus goes to her. He sits with her. He cares for her and restores her to the life of her family and her community. And what we see in the gospel story is this back and forth in a very short period of time, this pattern that emerges of public and private ways of Jesus going about the work that he came to do. Perhaps today in the church, we might name these ministries of mission or justice and pastoral care. These are the ways we show care and compassion to those who are directly part of our community and how we reach out in service and mission to proclaim and live out the good news of Jesus Christ. Something I've noticed recently, it becomes increasingly tempting to think that we actually need to choose between one of these when we are focusing our energy and our resources on doing the work of the church. And this can be especially true in times of transition and uncertainty, when there are questions about whether or not we have the resources, the staff, or the volunteers to do what we came out to do as the church. So you might be recalling times when you participated in such conversations in your time here at GPC or perhaps even another congregation. See, I heard just a little bit of this bubble up last weekend as we heard about the good news for our associate pastor, Katie, as she has received a call to another church closer to her family, and also as news is getting out about the retirement of our administrative staff. So understandably, there are a lot of questions about what's next. What's the plan? What are we going to do? But that doesn't mean that various aspects of what we do are in competition. See, I actually remember when I first came as your pastor here, there were conversations about budget shortfalls, and there were the same questions coming up. And as far as churches go, let me assure you, it's Presbyterian Church, nothing unique about this conversation or these questions. They're happening all over the place, and in the right context, with the right framing, they can actually be really instructive for us. But they are harmful when the ministries of care and outreach are pitted against each other, because they're two sides of the same coin. Following the calling of the disciples, it is within the first 24 hours of Jesus' public ministry that he demonstrates for those first four followers, and everywhere he would go, that they are both part of what he came to do, announcing that the kingdom of God is at hand. But also notice that Jesus doesn't discount the struggle in working out what this looks like in his particular context. You may have even missed it when I read the verses. They were so short that after the initial healings and teachings, there's this shift. The author moves from the evening of the Sabbath to the morning. And on this morning, it is very, very dark. In the darkness, Jesus goes out to a place absent of light and people, a deserted place, for a time of prayer, conversations with God. See, these gospel writers, they give us these little hints about something we need to pay attention to. And for Mark, darkness is one of them. It's more than just the amount of light in this place. There's a spiritual struggle happening. These deserted places are liminal spaces. Find yourself on the edge. And Jesus is engaging in such a struggle, praying, asking God, what is next? It's almost like we can hear this struggle take place again, and we will in a few weeks in the Garden of Gethsemane. What is the way forward for me? Jesus asks. And almost as suddenly as he moves to this place, some clarity emerges. And quickly, Jesus then says to his disciples, "Let's go. Let's go to these neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also. For that is what I came out to do." Do what you came out to do. GPC, we know what we're doing. We're proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of love, bringing healing and restoration to people who are broken and hurt, reaching out in peace and justice. There are so many words for us here. In this time of transition, uncertainty, it's our calling to do what we've come to do, to be the community of disciples we are called to be. So we will do just that. We'll pray and support our Jamaican mission travelers. And in a few weeks, we're also sending out a team to Guatemala. And we will open our hearts to hear their stories as they return. We will practice hospitality and welcome at St. Joseph's with the guests there and serving a meal. We'll remember that many of the folks there have felt cut off and marginalized from their own families and communities. We'll feed the hungry by supporting the Super Bowl of Caring, and we'll make those phone calls, those visits. We'll send those cards of care to those who experience loneliness and grief and illness. We'll nurture our children and youth, Sunday school and youth group. GPC, we're going to do what we've come to do. To help each other. To walk the mile and bear the load. Bearing witness to the truth and to the reign of God that is coming into this world. Now,
The one to whom we turn our lives over has invited us to this table. So whoever you are and however you feel, whatever reasons you are here, come to the feast. Whatever your conditions, your brokenness, and hurts you bear, know that our host is the one who teaches, the one who heals, and the one who welcomes. And it is our Savior who invites those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with the disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Holy are you, eternal one. You sit above, through, within the circle of the earth, setting light into being and casting the stars into the sky, founding the evolving earth and all that dwell in it. Limitless is your power and great is your welcome. You look upon the lowly as your most cherished creatures and visit upon the downtrodden with presence, grace, and the promise of eternal justice. We give thanks that you sent us your own child, Jesus, who reached into unexpected places, calling women, men, all those beyond the limits of their times, equipping us for nurturing love, welcoming children into your holy embrace. And so we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and every place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Glorified is your Son. Jesus came to reveal your kingdom, teaching us about your love. He filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table. Refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word, he went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith.
Christ died and we witness to the world. Christ rose. Loving God with all that he was, Christ will come, blessing us forever. Send now your Holy Spirit upon the bread and this cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted the cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair and welcomed without question at your table of grace. May, O God, we open our hearts to all of those who have been forsaken by the world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit and your holy people on this first day of the week and in the days to come. Amen. And indeed we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember, know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asked that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body, broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread. He poured it so we might remember. The sight and the sound, He shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith that you wouldn't even know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." When we break the bread and drink of the cup, we do so giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, promise of new life and faith made new. These are the gifts of God, the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Body of Christ, broken for each and every one of us, taste the goodness of God's mercy. apart from me, you can do nothing. Friends, this is the good news of the gospel.
In the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in this sacred meal, may we in turn open our lives to be bearers of grace wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
At this time, let us gather our prayers of joy, our prayers of concern. If you have one you'd like to share aloud, raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone to you.
One neighbor lost a 49-year-old son quite suddenly and was totally unprepared for that. And the other neighbor lost a 54-year-old son due to the flu, and that was totally unprepared for. So prayers for both those families. It's tough.
Prayers for those families, indeed.
Beth. Hi, Beth Molina. I have a joy. We have a new baby in our family. Her name is Victoria Christine DiMartino. She's my cousin, but she is also my Aunt Sue Mancini's first great-granddaughter.
Oh, celebrations for the new arrival in the family.
Bridget Wohlers, I just wanted to ask for prayers for the Marconi family. Beth's husband was at urgent care yesterday. She took two boys to urgent care this morning and somehow still made it into Sunday school.
Oh, my goodness.
So keep that whole family in prayer. Thanks.
Definitely. Prayers for the Marconis. Any other prayers today? I see one here and then over here.
Yeah, Karen. Pardon me. What an update for Wendell, friend Wendell. He's had his surgery and he's doing well, but you won't see him around for a few weeks. Things have to take their time and he is doing well. And I'm sure he would appreciate your prayers. And calls. Thank you.
Definitely continued prayers for Wendell. See, I see Prona over here, so rock, paper, scissors, you can get there quicker.
I don't have a prayer, but I have a gift. Last night I had the pleasure of going to hear those kids over at Gates Child Eye last night. Hundreds of kids. And I come out of there feeling there is hope for this country. They were fabulous. And the gift that they give you in here. Thank you, Tracy. It was awesome.
Amen. And we have prayers from our children also this morning. Was there another hand? Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Hello, Steve Ferguson. I have a close friend who I went to his calling hour yesterday. Actually, in 4 months, he would have turned 101.
Oh, goodness.
And so last year, I was able to go and see him at his birthday party when he turned 100. Mm. Wonderful gentleman and on his way to the kingdom of heaven.
Amen. Prayers be with his friends and family who celebrated his life. And with our children this morning, we offer prayers of joy for watching the Super Bowl, for a sister who turned 18, prayers of joy for a brother and a mom's birthday, prayers of joy for going to visit Dad, prayers of concern for no dessert yesterday, prayers for new students at school, for vacations, time with family, and prayers for going back to St. Croix. Let us continue our time of prayer. God, you are with us always in the most deserted places and in the most crowded. You approach us in the most intimate spaces and the most public. You call us to welcome in this same way, not turning from our sufferings, but offering to heal at any time, in any place, so we may be restored with the rest of the world. We lift up those who need strength to love and serve you. We offer prayers for relatives that care, for friends who come to us when we are worn out and in need of a helping hand. We pray for the leaders of this church who wish to welcome others, to lead your disciples, and restore strangers to life. God, we ask prayers for our minds and the minds of others who are having difficulty with emotions and thought patterns and ways of living, who need a reason to cease the chaos and permission to seek inner peace. God, we pray. We pray for the crowds of strangers in need of order and vision, searching for assurance that reconciliation is possible, and that indeed your love is the greatest power on earth. We pray all these prayers and the words in the depths of our hearts that are only known to you, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive the morning offering.
You are kind and trustworthy. Every day you graciously provide what we need from your abundance. We are grateful that you bring healing and hope for our life as individuals and as a faith community. Accept these monetary gifts and offerings to strengthen our church's outreach to our neighbors. May more people come to know you and your love through ministries. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior.
We go out into this world listening for the voice of God that calls to each one of us to share the love of God, to live out the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage that we need from the Holy Spirit to get up each and every day and do it again. Alleluia. Amen.